AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. Grain markets are mixed to start the week, but the gainers are way more impressive than the losers. Get this, delivery month soybean meal up more than $30 a ton this morning. Cattle are higher, hogs continue to struggle, and crude oil futures are sharply lower. We'll get an update on Russia-Ukraine war and on the machinery market.
Live from Pi Day via Farm Journal broadcast,
yes.
This is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Senator Charles Grassley. Then it's on to Machinery Pete, Greg Peterson. Later, Tanner Bamer, Director of Government Affairs and Market Regulatory Policy for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. And right after the news, Michael Clark from BAM WX with a weather update. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Davis, you know what? I've been involved in many a hashtag pie chat on Twitter.
Yes?
But
oh,
there's
have?
An E in this. There's an E in it.
Well, yeah, see, and here's my strategy for celebrating Pi Day, what, 3.14, three, it's 3.14 is the whole thing for you non-math people like me out there.
Right.
Rather than eating pie, I'm going to completely jump the shark and eat cheesecake instead.
Wow.
That's how I'm celebrating Pi Day. I've got an assortment of cheesecakes here.
You are such a rebel.
This is what I do.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. Davis?
Uh-huh.
Does it feel like the AgriTalk voice is reaching a little bit further this morning?
I feel a little taller and a little bit louder somehow. I can't quite put my finger on it. Your thoughts, Chip Flory.
Welcome, KMA, Shenandoah, Iowa, to the morning show of AgriTalk.
We're so glad to have you, KMA.
Love hearing that.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, They've been carrying the show in the afternoon from 2:06 Central to 3 o'clock. For 8 years now, Davis. For years. You realize what last week was, right?
It was
last week was our 8 year anniversary on the show in the afternoon.
8 years and we're still employed.
Dude.
How does that happen?
Unbelievable. And
bro.
I tell you what, KMA gave us a great present by picking up the afternoon show from the get-go, but they are now on with us right now in the morning. Welcome, KMA.
By my count, now that brings us up to 700 trillion billion listeners, which is a great spot to be in.
That's a great spot to be in. Absolutely. And the brackets are set. The tournament is on.
Ooh, yes.
The stadiums, the gyms, the coliseums are all going
time.
They are going to be filled, and guys, you can be a part of it. We've got the Bracket Busters Tournament Challenge. It's now up and running on agweb.com. Just go to www.agweb.com. At the very top, you will see trending. Right next to the word trending is Bracket Busters Challenge. Click on that and get fired up. Make your choices. I've already done it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go Cyclones for maybe a round.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. And KCIH is the proud sponsor. $1,000 for first place, $500 for second, and $250 for third place there. So looking forward to the Bracket Busters Challenge. All right, buddy, let's get into it. What you got in the news?
Well, Chip, Chinese authorities put Shenzhen's population in lockdown yesterday for at least 1 week amid a surge of COVID-19 infections. That covers more than 17 million citizens, Chip. China also implemented fresh restrictions in Shanghai, the country's most populous city. This and similar restrictions across the world's second largest economy could affect half of the country's population and gross domestic product, according to economists at Australia and New Zealand Banking Group. Chip, Shanghai's ports among the busiest in the world.
Yeah. But at least it continues to function. They've softened up on the, zero tolerance where everything would have been shut down. But this is a major blow.
Well, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said the U.S. dollar is in no danger of losing its status as the world's dominant reserve currency because of sanctions imposed against Russia over its invasion of Ukraine. Some commentators have warned sanctions that blocked Russia's access to its foreign currency reserves could drive other countries away from the dollar. Chip, the dollar index was up 0.6% last week and has been rising during Russia's attack on Ukraine.
Yeah, and the ruble has been turning to rubble. Is what it's doing.
Well said. Russia has reportedly asked China for military equipment, U.S. officials said. Some 35 are dead in a Russian strike on a Ukrainian military site in western Ukraine near Poland. The U.S. warned of a full NATO response if Poland is hit. Western officials said the attack at NATO's doorstep was not merely a geographic expansion of the invasion, but a shift in tactics. Russian President Vladimir Putin showed no willingness to accept a ceasefire in Ukraine. During a phone call, the circle's getting closer to NATO, Chip.
Yeah, absolutely. 10 miles from the border is what it sounds like.
House lawmakers this week will revoke Russia's permanent normal trade relations status, a measure they were set to pass last week until President Joe Biden asked them to wait. The move comes after Biden said he would ban imports of Russian vodka, caviar, and diamonds. Chip, how's anybody supposed to get married? No vodka, no caviar, no diamonds? What? Huh?
How am I going to live without the Russian vodka, caviar, and diamonds? I don't know, bro.
Gasoline prices continue to go up, a record-setting $4.43 on average here. And global prices of soybean meal climbed to the highest in more than 7 years. Argentina suspended export registrations, Chip.
Right. Yeah. And like I said, front month, the delivery month, March, on soybean meal up $32 this morning, $32 a ton, because we're not getting the meal out of Argentina right now. All right, Davis, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Let's bring in Michael Clark, BAMWX.com. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Chip. That's why I drink bourbon, buddy. I don't drink vodka.
There you go. Good answer to that. It's not like all of a sudden we're going to get mad at Kentucky.
Exactly.
Oh, man. But Kentucky's going to be in that area where temperatures are going to be above normal this week, aren't they?
Yeah, warm the next 2 weeks, for sure. Warm and active. It'll be a little bit calm this week, but they'll be kind of in the bullseye. Really, the eastern Corn Belt, the deep south, going to really be ramping up the activity for precip and temperatures here even, too, the next couple weeks.
Soggy the next couple of weeks. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah, especially like from kind of that I-70 corridor south, like southern Indiana, Illinois, Missouri, down there through Arkansas, and enhanced severe weather and tornado potential. Kind of we talked about that last week, but kind of still seeing that ramp up here, you know.
And it's happening. I mean, that's the thing, guys. Not only has Michael been talking about it, it has been happening. These severe weather opportunities are coming at us rapidly, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. So I would anticipate over the next few weeks to, you know, just prepare for that and know that there'll probably be an uptick in that going forward.
Real quick, any moisture relief in the, you know, out west, Texas up to Montana?
Unfortunately, not really. Maybe the far northern tier closer to Montana in week two could get active, but in terms of central southern plains, southwest Texas areas, no relief in sight here in the near future.
All right. Well, the good news is rain makes corn and corn makes bourbon. So we're good to go.
Yes.
That's great. All right. Thank you so much, Michael. That's Michael Clark, BAMWX.com. We've got Senator Chuck Grassley up next on AgriTalk.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
What if your commercial beef herd could be better than you thought possible? Genetic testing can help give you more confidence about what your herd is made of, and more importantly, what it can be. Inherit Select from Zoetis provides data-driven genetic insights to help you make more informed selection, breeding, and culling decisions about your cows and heifers. The journey from genetic potential to reality begins with Inherit Select. Ask a genetics rep how to save on testing with our whole herd promotion. Go to beefgenetics.com/radio.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Find farm equipment on Machinery Pete's March 22nd online auction. No reserve, no buyer fees. Start bidding now. Auctions.machinerypete.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us. We are going to hold off on Machinery Pete until the bottom of the hour, because right now we have a conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa. Senator, welcome back to AgriTalk.
Glad to be with you. I've been in 27 counties so far this year of my 99-county tour, and yep. I'm hearing from farmers. They're discussed about diesel costs, inputs, fertilizer, chemicals, seeds. In some areas where there's a pipeline going through, I'm hearing resentment from farmers about that pipeline.
You bet. And I want to talk about all of that. But, Senator, I know that you are a big UNI Panther. I'm a Cyclone. But we have both got to give congratulations to the Hawks this year. I mean, wow. Men's team, women's team, they both won the conference tournament. What a year for Hawkeye basketball.
Well, I'm for it. And remember, UNI women lost going to the NCAA meet by a 50-48 vote Sunday afternoon in the Missouri Valley Conference.
Yep.
And
right there.
And the score was 50-48.
Yeah. Yep. They were right there. Almost got that job done. That was too bad that they didn't get it done. So, okay. Senator, what's the latest on Russia's invasion of Ukraine? Are there any ceasefire or peace talks on the schedule?
Well, don't forget, Congress passed an urgent aid bill for Ukraine last week. It had money in it for military materiel for Ukraine, and also had money in it for humanitarian relief, both within Ukraine and those people that have gone to other countries thereby. Now, that doesn't answer your question about where we are. I think that there's always some talks going on, but it's just almost impossible to reach an agreement so far. And then today we are hearing that Russia is asking China for help, or China might be considering helping Russia with help. So we've got our national security advisor, we've got our Secretary of State involved today in communication with China that they better not do that. And there's two reasons. One, China should not be helping Russia with this humanitarian calamity that we have in Ukraine. But also in 2008, China took very much a strong interest in helping the country of Ukraine and was making certain promises to them about their sovereignty. Now, their sovereignty is being violated by Russia going in there. And right now, I don't see an end to it. Either one of two things. Either Ukraine will be conquered by Russia, or if the Ukrainians, who are doing a wonderful job of defending themselves and causing great harm to Russian military efforts, and if Putin doesn't succeed, I don't think he's going to long be president of Russia.
Okay. Yeah, Putin not being president or being taken out of office in Russia, that may be the best case scenario that we can imagine from this, isn't it?
It ought to happen from two standpoints. If he can't succeed militarily, he shouldn't be in that office. Or somebody there ought to depose him some way because of the humanitarian crisis that the Russian people themselves can't be backing, but they don't know anything about it. We've got people in Ukraine who are telling their friends in Russia what's going on, and the people in Russia doesn't believe them because every avenue to get news about the war in Ukraine is being shut down. Disinformation, in other words, within Russia.
Right, right. The U.S. aid to Ukraine that you were talking about, there are some that still believe we're walking a very fine line on what we can do to help Ukraine without giving Putin even more incentive to launch a cyber attack on the U.S. or retaliate against the U.S. How difficult is that to manage?
I think most of it is in relationship to two things. One, the no-fly zone, which if you're going to really have a no-fly zone, that would involve European and American airplanes making sure it's a no-fly zone.
Right.
But that gets close to an act of war against Russia. The second thing is the MiG jets that maybe would get into Ukraine and be used there. But I don't think it applies to what we're doing with Stinger missiles to bring down Russian airplanes or things that we have on the ground to take out Russian tanks. I think nobody can say that that's a violation of or an incentive for Russia to spread this war out further.
Okay. Okay, you started off right away talking about your visits to all 99 counties, or you've done 27. I'm sure you'll get to all 99 again this year. By talking about the inputs that and the costs that farmers are facing. The Federal Reserve meets on Wednesday. It's going to raise the Fed funds rate a quarter of a point. That's been telegraphed already. Is that enough of an effort to fight what is the highest inflation rate in 40-plus years?
No, but they're going to do that on a fairly regular basis between now and the end of the year, and maybe over the course of a few weeks, it'll make a big difference. They need to do other things, too. They've gone from their balance sheet being about $4 trillion up to $9 trillion. They need to gradually reduce that balance sheet down to something more reasonable, and they need to do that slowly. But that would also be another way to tackle the inflation.
Right.
But
okay.
But here's the main thing: they're getting started about a year late.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly right. Exactly right. Okay. Do you think the Biden administration is going to do anything to reconsider some of the actions that it has put in place that are a disincentive to U.S. crude oil production?
Just think what those are. First day in office, shutting down the XL pipeline, stopping drilling on the North Slope of Alaska, offshore Alaska, on public lands in the United States, on the Gulf of Mexico, off the Atlantic coast. And then putting more regulations on fracking, and then tell the banks you shouldn't lend to energy companies. Then immediately we get a $1 spike in gasoline just because of the bad policies of this administration. Then you get another 50 cents put on it because of Ukraine. And then you have you go from an energy independent country to an energy dependent country. And then when the price of gasoline goes up, you go to Russia and to OPEC and to Venezuela to get more oil in. And all of those countries have very bad environmental regulations. So you're importing a whole bunch of greenhouse gases, into this country.
Yep.
When we've got regulations that are better than any other country on our energy sources to reduce greenhouse gases. So just think of the inconsistency of this policy, shutting down our production to import from more dirty oil.
Yeah. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me either, Senator. Not much at all. We've only got about a minute left. What's the latest on the Grassley-Fisher bill on the cattle market price discovery, market transparency?
Well, it's obviously that we did not get it into the omnibus appropriation bill Thursday, but we also had this other possibility kept alive that we're going to try to put together with the livestock mandatory reporting legislation because it fits in there very good. And that only got extended till September 30th, the end of this fiscal year. So between now and the next budget season, we've got an opportunity to still keep that alive. And then we also got an opportunity to put it in with some other competition legislation that deals with big tech that's being done in a bipartisan way. So we got 9 Republican co-sponsors, 8 Democrat co-sponsors. So it's got broad bipartisan support, and I think enough support to get a big vote out of Agriculture Committee if we need to go in that direction. And I don't think we do need to go through the committee to get the job done.
Gotcha. We didn't have time to talk about it, but I see what you are doing on legislation to bring down prescription drug costs as well, Senator. Thank you for that. Keep up the good work there. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
God bless you. Goodbye. See you next time.
All right. That is Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa. We got Machine Repeat up next on AgriTalk.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from ProFarmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beads, wow, there is some mixed action, I guess I would say, in the grain markets today. What's going on?
Well, wheat overnight posted sharp losses, but boy, we got the daytime trade here in mid-morning. We're now posting strong gains, so quite a bit of volatility remains in that wheat market. Market continues to closely monitor the Russia-Ukraine situation, and overnight there was some talk that maybe some hopes of ceasefire or increased hopes, I guess, probably the best way to say it. Yeah. But now there's talk that Russia will shut off its grain exports and until the end of June. So we've got all kinds of stuff flying at the market, and the price volatility continues there. Now, soybeans and soy meal, they're up because of the Argentine situation, where Argentina will halt the registrations on export registries for both the meal and oil markets. Oil is not gaining strength from that because of largely what's happening in the global oil seed markets overnight, and then crude oil under heavy pressure.
Yeah, crude oil being $7 lower isn't helping that soybean oil market out this morning either. Big losses in corn translate into big gains in the cattle complex.
Absolutely. The feeder cattle, they opened sharply higher and have extended to the upside. Live cattle, they didn't find much follow through from last Friday's gains initially, but now they've charged higher and trading sharply higher as well. The hog market, it started under pressure as well, and now trading with a mixed tone here mid-morning. So, quite a bit of buyer interest coming into the livestock markets here to start the week.
Yep, no doubt. All right, Brian. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later. That's Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady.
Machine Repeat here, folks. This segment of AgriTalk brought to you by our friends at Dakota Ag Innovations, makers of Dakota Shine, the best way I've seen to fix faded paint. Go to dakotashine.com or call 888-996-7801. Shining through the trees.
Davis, the bracket busters are up and running at agweb.com.
Roger that, big fella.
Got the tournament challenge going. Get on there, make your picks.
1,000 smackers on the line. 1,000 smackers, people.
I love it.
Now more than ever, couldn't you use $1,000? Couldn't you really? How about the second prize of 500? 500's not bad.
Hey, third prize of 250. I'd take
250 big ones.
You know, but the problem is all you and I are going to get out of it if/when we win is bragging rights because, of course, employees of Farm Journal are ineligible to take home.
Well, we've got our own little bracket challenge and the bracket bragging challenge.
There you go.
I can
love
it. Yeah.
Love it. All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flora. That is Davis Michelson.
Hey.
What a tough situation that in Ukraine, trying to figure out exactly what it means for these markets and so on. And when we do that, after that conversation with Senator Grassley, I feel like it shouldn't be necessary to say, but at the same time, I know how some react to it. Just because we're talking about the market impacts of Russia's invasion of Ukraine does not mean that we are not praying for the safety of the Ukrainian people. Does not mean that we're not praying for the safety of the Russian people that want nothing to do with this.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
We are very much aware of the loss of life and the threats to the Ukrainian way of life because of what is happening.
Well, and on some level, you know, an analysis of the fundamentals in the market do take require a degree of pragmatism.
Yep.
That's
right.
You know, that sort of puts the social aspects to the side, but that doesn't mean that they're not in the forefront of our minds.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So those of you that expressed a little bit of concern that we're not thinking about the Ukrainian people there after that segment, we are.
Yes.
Regularly. All the time. All right. Let's bring in Machinery Pete, Greg Peterson. How you doing, Greg?
Hey, I'm pretty good, guys. How you doing today?
Doing just fine. Just fine. I love what you want to do this week. This is all about looking forward into some of the machines that are going to be available this week. I love it. So let's kick it off with the pick of the week. What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, well, March, of course, gets busy with upcoming auctions. And, boy, we got some just fantastic sales coming up this week, guys. If I had to pick one piece, I'll be watching most of all. It's coming up this Saturday, March 19th, Farm Estate Auction in Marion, Indiana for Michael Solms. And it's a 1999 John Deere 7810 with only 606 actual hours on it. I actually met Michael, I think about 5-6 years ago. I was speaking at a small university, Christian college there in Indiana, I think Huntington University. And Michael came up afterwards and we visited about his low-hour 7810. Yeah, 606 hours. So again, this thing sells Saturday. It's Price Leffler is the auction firm having the sale. That's priceleffler.com. I'm going to post a little video of it, a walk around that one of Michael's sons shot for me later today. Now, of course, the 7810, super popular model, late 90s. And we did see one back in November out in Maryland. We filmed for our TV show with 900 hours on it that brought $170,000.
Yeah.
Set a record by like, I don't know, $38,000 or something. So this one, man, it could be really something Saturday in Marion, Indiana.
Okay, you mentioned it, but I want to put some emphasis on this. You love it when the tractor owners, the equipment owners shoot those videos, do a little walk around with it and send them your way.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, not just for auctions, but private items too.
Yeah.
I mean, you can list items for sale in machinerypete.com. And then I encourage people when you do that, just take your cell phone and turn it around and, you know, talk to me into the phone. Hey, Pete, this is, you know, whatever, Fred from Benson, Minnesota. And here's my Case IH 5400 drill or whatever. Just tell me about it. And, you know, that little personalization, it might not seem like it's that powerful, but it just, with internet, social media, you're just bringing more people in. So yeah,
it's very powerful.
It's just good business.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay. That one is in Indiana. You are also watching an auction that comes up on the 19th in Southern Ohio. What do you got there?
Yeah, it's about 60 miles north of Cincinnati on Saturday. My good friends at Rick Williams Auction Company, Rick and his son Brad, fantastic auction company there. They've got a sale for J.D. Green Parts and Equipment is retiring. And some unique items here. How about a 1991 John Deere 2955 two-wheel drive, 399 actual hours on it? I'm starting to get people have seen this coming up and they're pinging me like, geez, Pete, did you see this thing? So that's on the sale. And if you're in the market for a Gator, how about a 2017 John Deere 825i, 26.7 hours on it, never been off the concrete or gravel. So 5 years old, just like new. And they've also, for you 55 series fans, they got a 91 John Deere 4755 front wheel, 5,900 hours on it. So I think Rick and Brad are going to have quite a sale there Saturday down in Southern Ohio.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, let's go up north. Wyndham, what are you watching there?
Yeah, up my way, Wyndham, Minnesota. Our great friends at Sullivan Auctioneers have an online farm retirement auction Thursday, St. Paddy's Day, the 17th. This is for Langland Farms retirement sale for Mark and Paul. Now, this sale is going to be smoking hot. I mean, you talk about tractors that people want. How about a 2008 John Deere 8430 IVT, 1,621 hours on it? The Langlands are the second owner. They bought it with hardly any hours on it. And then a 2008 John Deere 8130 Power Shift, 2,194 hours. Same deal. They bought it with hardly any hours on it. A 79 John Deere 4440, one owner, 8,100 hours. And then combine, a 2011 John Deere 9670 with only 725 SEP hours on it. And if that Langland name sounds familiar, folks, it should, because back in August of 19, Sullivan's had a sale for Mark and Paul's father, and he passed away right after the sale, but that was the famous auction where they sold a John Deere 4640 with 826 hours for $61,000 that John Kinzenbaugh bought.
Yeah.
You can watch, I got YouTube video on it. You can go watch it, so this is Mark and Paul, their retirement sale again, Thursday in Wyndham. Just check out Sullivan Auctioneers, folks, sullivanauctioneers.com.
Yeah. All right. And you've got an auction coming up here pretty soon, don't you?
We do, a week from tomorrow, March 22nd, our monthly Machine Repeat sale. And just to highlight a few tractors, folks, there's a super sharp 05 John Deere 8320 out of Kansas, 7,000 hours on it, but it just looks beautiful, beautiful tractor. There's a one that's really got people talking is a 95 Case IH 7220 two-wheel drive Mark 50 edition. So whenever I see those, they always garner extra interest. And this one only has 3,257 hours on it. I think it comes out of Athens, Illinois. We also have a 2011 John Deere 7200R, so pre-def, 3,793 hours from Idaho. Super nice tractor. And then a late addition to the sale was a John Deere 92 model 4960. Of course, they always get people talking. This thing looks really sharp, 6,500 hours. It's out of Arkansas. I just saw this morning our friend Andrew Hamilton with Hamilton Auction Company in Minnesota. They added a 96 John Deere 6200 mechanical front with 4,480 hours. So again, just hit our website, folks, machinerypete.com. You'll see the upcoming auction, or the auction link for the monthly auction. And again, it's a week from tomorrow.
All right. So what should we expect at these auctions that you just highlighted? Has there been any back off on the tractors?
Well, I'll put it this way. I saw a tweet comment yesterday that I liked from one of my Twitter followers, and he said, use tractors are the new crypto. So if they're in good condition, the prices are rising. And more examples of that from a little sale last Wednesday. Well, not little. It's a huge sale. Our friends at Big Iron. But within the sale, they had a couple items like a 98 Case IH 8910 two-wheel drive, 4,800 hours. 62.5, highest auction price in 13 years. Wow. Same sale had a 15 model Case IH Puma 165, just under 2,300 hours with a loader. That went for 107 and a quarter, highest auction price in over 7 years. And they set a record on an 18 John Deere 5115R with a loader, 600 plus hours out of Nebraska at 94.5. That's a record by a ton. So that's an example there. I mean, that's an 18 model. So it's not just the pre-tier 4 stuff.
Right.
Good used tractors, like the guy said, that's kind of the new crypto right now.
Yeah, that is nuts. Absolutely nuts. Okay.
Actually, one more sale I should mention, Chip.
Okay, it's closing go ahead.
Today at lunchtime, our friends at the Steffes Group, a sale for online dealer auction for Kibble equipment. And on the sale is a 2020 John Deere 8R370 IVT, 998 hours on it. So, you know, 2 years old, hard to find those babies. And that's again selling at noon today.
Okay, done at noon today. So to answer the question that we started that report on, there's not much back off on these, on the demand for the tractors.
No, it's ramping up. It's the opposite of backing off. You know, March and early April is go time, and market is so, the used inventory is so tight that, you know, it's just good used, the values are just going up.
Gotcha. Greg, great update, buddy. Thanks, man. We gave us a lot to watch for in the week ahead. Thanks, man.
Yeah, you bet. See you guys.
All right. That is Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. We're going to be talking about the Omnibus Appropriations Package with the guys from NCBA next.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for. Only on MachineryPete.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us here this morning. We've already had a full show, but we're going to fill it up even more, Davis. Going to do it right now.
Can't wait.
Right? I know you can. I can hear it. I can hear how excited you are.
Can you hear it in my voice?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Let's bring in Tanner Beamer. He is the Director of Government Affairs and Market Regulatory Policy for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Tanner, welcome to AgriTalk.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, glad that you're back with us here. The fiscal year 2022 appropriations package passed last week, $1.5 trillion. And it's always important, I think, to take a close look at the package, pull out some of the things that are very important to the different segments of agriculture. There are a couple of very nice items in that appropriations package for the cattle industry, aren't there?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we saw the continuation of some of the riders that our industry has been very vocally in support of regarding some EPA reporting requirements, stuff regarding endangered species with respect to the greater sage grouse. We also saw the exemption for livestock haulers using electronic logging device that was included in there. And we also saw an extension of the livestock mandatory reporting program to September 30th of this year, which is a critical market transparency tool. Some of these have been included in previous omnibus packages, but I think perhaps the most exciting for me personally, given the portfolio that I cover, was a pilot program for the cattle contract library.
Right. Right. Let's start off talking about that, because when we talk about the development of transparency in the cattle industry, that library gets it, that's got widespread support throughout the industry, doesn't it?
It does. In fact, it's of the solutions that we've been talking about on Capitol Hill with respect to cattle markets, it's probably the concept that enjoys the broadest support among all of the cattle and livestock specific groups. So we were very pleased to see it get over the finish line via the appropriations package. Of course, we've been supportive of all the different efforts, most notably the one led by Dusty Johnson and Henry Cuellar that actually ended up passing the full House of Representatives by a very wide majority. So this was very encouraging to see the momentum build on getting that program teed up in a more permanent fashion.
Yeah, absolutely. The hog industry's already got one, don't they?
That's correct. And as a matter of fact, the provision that was teed up by this spending package, it actually makes a one-time appropriation to USDA to do a cattle contract library pilot program. So this isn't a fully authorized library that'll be in perpetuity. It's just a pilot to kind of study it, see if it's an effective tool and what sort of regulatory framework might be required if that became more permanent. But the swine contract library, it rests at packers and stockyards. And that's actually a key provision of this rider, right? Instead of directing the cattle contract library over to PNS, it actually sends it to the Livestock, Grain, and Poultry Market News Division, which is a key differential because it actually, that's the agency at USDA that implements livestock mandatory reporting. So they're very well equipped and well practiced in taking lots of data and turning it into a public-facing, user-friendly format. It's also important because that would also subject it theoretically to LMR's rules of confidentiality. We want to make sure that we're protecting producers' proprietary business information while at the same time increasing transparency into some of these formula and contract style transactions.
Yeah. It was an extension of LMR. What's it going to take to make LMR permanent?
You know, frankly, it's going to take a willingness by lawmakers on Capitol Hill to just sit down and get it done. You know, we are now at a point where LMR should have been fully reauthorized for a year and a half. The original authorization on this most recent authority expired in September of 2020. So we're now several months, a year and a half or so away from that. And we are now to the point where, you know, just if you look at what is on the to-do list for House and Senate agriculture committees, we're starting to have conversations about a farm bill. And once we get down to the weeds on the next farm bill, there's not going to be a lot of time left on the calendar to address things like LMR. So we have a very tight window between here and September 30th. And we really, really want to see a full five-year reauthorization of that program somewhere in that time frame, because we talk about market transparency a lot in this business. We certainly have for the last couple of years. And LMR is the most crucial market transparency tool that we have at our disposal right now. We cannot afford to let that program expire. And so it's time now to take seriously a full five-year reauthorization.
Right. Okay. You mentioned some EPA regulatory relief. What was that again about the sage grouse?
Right. So the on the EPA side of the equation, you know, we have some riders in there that have been in there for a long time that basically would not allow the EPA to collect or report information on greenhouse gas emissions from biological processes, i.e. methane production and cattle production under some CERCLA-EPCRA type of reporting structures. And then on the sage grouse side of the equation, you know, we have maintained a rider that's been in there since 2014 that restricts the Fish and Wildlife Service from promulgating any sort of a listing rule for the greater sage grouse. There's a lot of voluntary conservation work that's going on at the ground level where it is most critical. And we want to continue to build upon the good progress we've seen on those voluntary conservation efforts, because as we know, as with anything, the best work happens on the ground by ranchers, by those local communities, and it only gets worse when you start to add in Washington, D.C. bureaucrats to that process.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, Tanner. Hey, thank you so much for the update on this. Really appreciate it. And we'll be talking with you again soon.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That's Tanner Beamer, Director of Government Affairs and Market Regulatory Policy at the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Okay. Now, we've got until Thursday morning to get this Bracket Busters up and running, Davis.
Okay.
Are you ready for it?
I'm ready for it.
You going to check it out?
All right. I'm going to check it out.
Absolutely. Like I said, I've already got my bracket done. Go to agweb.com. Up at the very top of the page, you will see trending, and right next to that, you will see Bracket Busters Tournament Challenge. Click on that and get in there and fill out your bracket. It's really super easy. And Case IH would love to give you $1,000 for winning that tournament, $500 to the second place finisher, and $250 to third place.
You can get a full tank of gas for $1,000.
Yeah, awesome. Man, you can fill it up. Fill it all the way to the top. Bill Biederman, agmarket.net this afternoon.